As we gather in this place, a beautiful, sunshiny Sunday morning, we do so because we come back week after week to remember what is true, and that is that our God is here. He is real. He is with us. He is for us. Our God draws near to us as we draw near to Him. He loves us. He is our strength. He is our hope. He is our peace. All of these things that my heart needs every day. And I come together with you because you help me remember who He is and what our story is as we do it together. So we hear these words from Isaiah 43. But now thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Do not fear, for I am with you. Would you pray with me? Oh, living God, we cling to these words today, that you are a God who chooses to be with us, your children. You choose to protect us. You choose to redeem us. You choose to wrap your arms around us and love us. You choose to forgive us. You choose to free us. If we only turn to you and receive the gifts of your mercy, you give them generously. You are an abundantly good Father God. So this morning we gather together to lift up your name together, to hear praises sung to you, O God. And as we do so, we are aware that we are joining the chorus of the saints and the angels who are around your throne even now. Heaven coming to earth as we join the song. So Lord, would your heart be glorified, would your name be honored, and would our hearts find strength and joy and healing as we draw near to you. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. We are starting a new series today that will take us into the next weeks, possibly a couple months. And it's a series on healing. This God who is a healer of many things. We're going to look today at a healer of broken bodies. We'll spend several weeks on a God who heals broken relationships, broken faith, bad habits. We've got all kinds of healing to talk about this morning. Broken bodies. We're going to jump around scripture. If you've got a Bible, turn first to Matthew chapter 9. Hear this story in verse 18. While he was saying these things to them, suddenly a leader of the synagogue came in and knelt before him, saying, "My daughter's just died, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will live." Jesus got up and followed him with his disciples. Then suddenly a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak, for she said to herself, "If I only touch his cloak, I'll be made well." Jesus turned and seeing her, he said, "Take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well." And instantly the woman was made well. When Jesus came to the leader's house and saw the flute players and the crowd making a commotion, he said, "Go away, for the girl is not dead but sleeping." They laughed at him. But when the crowd had been put outside, he went in, took her by the hand, and the girl got up. The report of this spread throughout that district. Luke chapter 13, verse 10. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 7. This is Paul speaking. Therefore, to keep me from being too elated, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from being too elated. 3 times I appealed to the Lord about this, that it would leave me. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. So I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities for the sake of Christ. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong." Would you pray with me? And now, holy God, living God, we come to your word. And we do so, O God, because our hearts long to hear from you. We long to connect to you, O God, to have an encounter with you. We haven't come to this place just for Bible study, just to get some more head knowledge about you. We don't care about Bible trivia questions. We want to know you, O God. We haven't come to this place to sit back and observe. We've come to participate, O God, in what you're doing in this place, in our lives, in our world. And we trust, O God, that your heart, you want to speak to us. You want us to find you, to hear from you, to embrace you. And so would your spirit move freely now, helping us hear whatever it is you want us to hear, so you might help us be whoever it is you want us to be, so you might help us do whatever it is you want us to do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The first time I remember seeing the healing power of Jesus was as a kid growing up in the church. The music minister's wife, Melanie, had been diagnosed with a really aggressive form of cancer, and it wasn't looking good. She was going to the doctor that very week to have surgery, and the church had all of us, kids included, come forward at the end of service, lay hands on her, and pray for her healing. A couple weeks later, Melanie came back to church with a testimony. She said, "You guys aren't going to believe this." She said, "I went to the doctor for my surgery. They opened me up and they couldn't find anything." She said, "They began to run all these tests. No signs of cancer anywhere." And she said, "And I didn't say it that Sunday because I didn't want to get my hopes up. But when the church prayed over me, I felt this power of God flowing through me. I was only 7 or 8. And already convinced that we have a God who heals." Fast forward, I was 27, on the staff of First Baptist Church of Waco, and I got a call one morning from our college minister, and he said that one of our church's college students named Jessica, she was beloved in the church, a Baylor student who was involved in every ministry you can imagine. She was full of life. She had this bright future. And overnight, she had slipped into a diabetic coma. Her roommate found her the next morning. And she was on life support, this 20-year-old girl. And I remember the entire church, and then her home church from wherever she was from, everyone began to just pray and pray and pray over this young girl. Everyone around the clock asking God to make her body start working again. And we buried her a week later. I was 27 and no longer so sure that God heals. Just last Thursday at Coffee Talk, my friend Nancy, she told of a tent revival that she went to years ago, had been suffering from intense shoulder pain. And while singing with the congregation for the Spirit to come, she says she was overcome by God's presence and that pain went away just like that. Gone. More weeks than not, my friend Rachel, who normally sits right there, I wish she was here this morning, I ask her how she's doing because she suffers from chronic pain. She's got this list of ways that her body is failing her, and it only seems to get longer, not shorter. And she's asked this same spirit to heal her. And still, it's a hard road. This morning, I want us to take a journey together. A journey around this question, does Jesus still heal? And what about when he doesn't? The first question for the morning, it's the easiest one. We start easy around here. The first question is, can Jesus heal? We just read it. It's easy. Of course Jesus can heal. Matthew 4, verse 23 says that Jesus came preaching, teaching, and healing. Healing. It was one of the top three objectives of his entire ministry here on earth. The crowds, they gathered around Jesus because he was a great healer. They didn't love sermons that much more than you do. They wanted the healing. That's why he drew the crowds. There are 41 distinct healings of Jesus that the Bible names. And that's not even counting all those times that he just saw a whole bunch of sick people in a crowd, and it says he healed them all. He heals a woman who's bled for 12 years. He heals 10 lepers. He makes the lame walk. He makes the deaf hear. He makes the blind see. Those who are sick in bed, like Peter's mother-in-law, they get up and they start making dinner. Dead people, like Lazarus, raise up when Jesus says so. He heals shriveled hands, and he heals twisted spines. He heals epileptics and snake-bitten apostles. Jesus can heal any disease. No matter how infected, no matter the prognosis, no matter how long it's been going on, Jesus can heal. He comes with healing in his wings. Before he goes to the cross, Jesus pulls together those 12 disciples and he says in John 14, whoever believes in me will do the works that I've been doing, and they will do even greater things. Through his people, Jesus intends to still heal a world that is riddled with sickness and death, broken bodies made whole again. That's still what he wants to see happen. Peter actually took this seriously, what Jesus said about him. You remember soon after Pentecost, Jesus hadn't even been in heaven 2 months yet. And Peter and James are going to the temple to pray, and they walk by this lame beggar who hasn't walked his entire life. Acts chapter 3. And this beggar asked Peter and James for money, and Peter says, well, I don't have any of that, but I'll give you what I do have. And he knew he had it. He said, the healing power of Jesus in me, I give it to you. Stand up and walk. And that lame beggar starts to dance. Jesus' healing ministry is still alive through his people. Have you seen it? Told you before about my great-grandma. I never met her. She died the day before I was born. Isn't it crazy how often God does that in a family, a death and then a new life almost immediately? But before she died, years before, she was about to die. And she was in the hospital. The doctors had called the family to come gather around her. They said, this is the end. She's done. And she would tell you until the day she finally did die that that night in the hospital, she saw Jesus. She said, he came to me in my room and he said to me, Laura, you're not going to die. I've got more life for you to live. I want you to see your husband come to know Jesus. You're going to live. The next morning, she was her normal self, got discharged by noon. They had no idea what had happened. Jesus healed. My dear friends, Andy and Pam, was it a year and a half, 2 years ago probably, now time flies, they both got diagnosed with cancer in the same month. And I don't know about you, but I was on my knees like 5 times a day, every day. And I told God he couldn't do that. I said, I don't know what my life here looks like if my dear friends aren't here with me. Can't do that, God. And they both, a few months shorter for Pam, longer for Andy, a year after, they were both healthy, healed. A little healing story. Yeah, you can clap for that, of course. You can clap for a God who heals. Yeah, sure. Just a little healing story. In our Good Shepherd group, we were learning about prayer. And one night we talked about, through a book we were reading, just the power of healing prayer. And the author said, you know, where there's sickness, we know that God's heart is not for sickness. And we know that God's kingdom is not a kingdom of sickness. And he wants his kingdom to come to earth. And so where there's sickness, pray for the future that you envision God wanting, that you envision lines up with his heart. And that was a Thursday night. Friday morning, I'm out running trails. And I'm way far from my car. And I've got somewhere to be and a sermon to write and all kinds of stuff going on. And I trip over a rock and I twist my ankle really bad. And I mean, I'm like, oh, great. Like, if I hobble out of here, it's going to be hours. And I said, ah, oh, I'm going to try this thing we just talked about. And so I said, Jesus, I can envision that you don't really like my ankle being sprained. That you would like me to work on that sermon that you put on my heart that's due very soon. And I can imagine that you can see my ankle made well. And I said, so I'm just going to keep running and trust that you can heal. And can I tell you, a minute later, I ran out of those trails totally fine. You're like, it's just a sprained ankle, maybe. But I prayed and I ran fine. I don't know. But what I do know is that Jesus can heal. And that still today, Jesus does heal. I know it. And I know that Jesus wants his healing power to flow from us, his people, to broken people. And I wonder if maybe we see his healing so little because so few of his disciples actually join him in that good healing work. Maybe we just don't show up with the power of Jesus in us, in those hospital rooms and by those bedsides like we should, like we could. And maybe the question is less if Jesus can heal. And maybe it's more whether or not we're willing to join him in that healing ministry. Jesus heals. The next question then, it gets a little bit harder. Under what conditions does Jesus do his very best healing? The answer is one word: faith. Under faith. Have you ever noticed in the Gospels that most all of Jesus' healings are preceded by faith? He applauds the centurion's faith when he asked Jesus to heal his daughter. And the father whose boy is suffering from a demon, he says, I believe you can, Jesus. Help my unbelief. He knew that his faith had this direct impact on his son's well-being. His desire for faith was enough. For the leper, Jesus says, your faith has made you well. When the bleeding woman stops bleeding, Jesus says, daughter, your faith has healed you. He applauds those ones who bring the paralytic man to him, says, because of their faith, this lame man will walk. Over and over in the Gospels, Jesus seems most able, at least most willing, to heal when there's some faith in the room. One of the reasons he couldn't do much in Nazareth, his very own hometown, was because they just didn't have faith that Joseph's boy could really do anything all that special. They knew too much about him. Mark 6 says Jesus couldn't do any miracles there, except lay his hands on a few sick people. He was amazed at their lack of faith, and few were healed. You see, faith and healing, they're usually a package deal. Do you believe Jesus has the power to heal? Do you at least want to believe that Jesus has the power to heal? Sometimes just that's enough. Do you believe that Jesus still wants his children to be made well? Do you believe that Jesus cares deeply for you and for the people you know who are suffering? And do you dare pray those bold faith prayers that ask Jesus to do what we cannot do on our own? Those are vulnerable prayers. Jesus, save him. Jesus, heal her. It's vulnerable. Do we pray those prayers? So often in Scripture, that prayer of faith is the very first thing that opens the door for God's healing. Have you been praying in faith for some healing these days? Remember, God wants us to keep doing what Jesus did. Sometimes Jesus heals just because he wants to, out of compassion. Sometimes there's no faith at all. He sees a need in his children, and sometimes he just moves to meet that need. In Luke 7, there's this funeral in this town called Nain, and there's this mom, and she's a widow, so she's already buried her husband, and now it says she's buried her son. And as that coffin passes by Jesus, no one asks him anything. Moved with compassion, he goes to where that boy is, and he lays his hand on him and raises him up. No one had faith. No one asked him. He just did it. In Luke 13, the story we heard earlier, this hunched over woman that he sees one day in the temple, he's just passing by. He sees her. She's been this way for 20 years. She doesn't think to ask for help. She's gotten used to it. And he sees her all bent over. He has compassion and he just moves toward her and says, "Woman, stand up. You're made well." Sometimes Jesus just can't bear to see his children suffering. And so he rushes to help them and to heal them. And it's his compassion that makes him do it. You know, we really have no idea how many times Jesus has moved with compassion in our lives. We have no idea. We have no idea how many times Jesus has offered us healing without us even asking for it. I wonder how many times God has told our hearts to keep beating. Or how many times God got our lungs back to breathing and we didn't even know that it might be otherwise. I wonder how many times God has told those cancerous cells to stop reproducing and we haven't even a clue. Wonder how many times he's moved to heal us just from his heart of compassion without us asking or even knowing about it, not needing attention just because we're his children and God just moves on our behalf. He can't help himself. And sometimes we don't even know it. And so this we've determined, we figured it out. Jesus healed. And through his people and through his spirit, he still heals today. Jesus heals best when there's faith in the room, and sometimes he heals without it because his compassion compels him to. So the next question. This is the elephant in the room question that you're like, finally, what a waste of time that other 20 minutes was. If Jesus can heal, and if he still does heal, then why do so many people continue to suffer with sick, broken bodies, unhealed? Though Jesus healed hundreds, we could say, during his ministry on earth, there were thousands that he didn't heal. Why some and not all? Even with those very first apostles, sometimes people are healed and their lives are spared. And Peter and James, remember, they walk out of jail barely even harmed. And yet Stephen, he dies by stoning the very first time he's captured. Why did God rescue some from physical pain and not others. Paul carries on this healing work of Jesus. When that boy Eutychus falls out of the window because Paul is preaching too long and he dies, Paul goes and he lays on his dead body until Eutychus comes back to life. Paul's miracles are so well known that by Acts 19, it says people are bringing handkerchiefs for Paul to bless so they can take them back to their sick neighbors back home and see them healed. Even still, in 2 Timothy 4, verse 20, Paul says that he had to leave his own friend, Trophimus, sick in the town of Miletus. This is the guy who's sharing in the healing power of Christ through blessed handkerchiefs. And he couldn't even help his own friend who's sick. Paul himself knew what it was like to go without this physical healing that we so desire. 2 Corinthians 12, those verses, he speaks of what he calls the thorn in his flesh, something that torments him. And scholars have debated for days over what that could be. He doesn't tell us for a reason. But it could be, they say, maybe it was just his terrible eyesight. And back then, they didn't have glasses and contacts. That would be hard. Maybe it was his body that was bent over and handicapped and in chronic pain from all of those beatings he had taken. We don't know. Whatever it is, it was chronic for Paul. And he begged God to take it away. This man who sent handkerchiefs to heal others could do nothing about his own physical pain. And God speaks to Paul through that thorn. And he says, Paul, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. Paul's thorn. His suffering. It's the way that he was getting to see just how much he needs God. How strong his God is. It's the way the world was seeing God shine in Paul. And when God said that, it seems that Paul actually took these words to heart because he starts to boast in his weaknesses. He says, I'll take them. Bring them on, God. If it helps me know you, I'll take it. They're just his invitation to really know God. Because you see, when we're feeling fine, and when we're doing fine, and when we have not a care in the world, we so easily forget our God. But when we come to the end of ourselves, remember how fragile we are. Lo and behold, there he is again. There's our God. When we're weak, there we are talking to him, leaning on him, walking with him, desperate for him, calling out to him again and again. More than being free from suffering, Paul just wanted to know Jesus. And he realized that it was his suffering that kept bringing him back to Jesus. In Philippians 3, verse 10, he cries out that I may know Jesus and the fellowship with him in his sufferings, that I might know him like that. You see, there's something that draws people together who have had similar pains like little else can do. Parents who have lost children tend to bond with other parents who have been through that same pain. Cancer patients often call out to those who have walked through a similar diagnosis. How'd you do it? War veterans, they often won't say a thing about that war until they're around another veteran who gets it. Paul saw his sufferings as a chance to connect with the heart of Jesus who suffered. And he knew that he couldn't know Jesus in full unless he shared in these most broken parts with him. And he actually longed for it. He would gladly struggle if that struggle just meant that he could know Jesus more. The Jesus whose body was broken. The Jesus who wasn't removed from pain, but who endured it so he might know us in our pain. Sometimes when our healing doesn't come as quickly as we'd like it to, God's just wanting us to get to know some more of our Jesus. And God actually assumes that we would rather know Jesus than anything else. Hopefully he assumes right. Perhaps he's giving us what our hearts actually want most of all. Our friend Ty, who's also not here this morning, she'll tell you her story soon, is the same story that my stepmom has. Ty had a brain injury several years back. My stepmom had a massive stroke over a decade ago. Both of their lives were turned upside down just like that. All of a sudden, these independent, free people are riddled with handicaps and setbacks, physical limitations. And I've heard the same testimony from both of these ladies, and they both say, you know what? Turns out my life before the stroke was a mess. Physically, I was fine, but my marriage was falling apart. My heart was selfish. My life in the world was all about me, and my life with God was really non-existent. And they said, and then I had this terrible thing happen to me that I thought was the worst thing. And it turns out that in this deep place of need where I became very dependent and couldn't do what I always had loved to do, I found my God who was there with me and for me. In this slower life, I find I have space to hear him, to commune with him. They say, I wouldn't give this accident back for anything. Because the very thing that was supposed to undo me has opened my eyes and my heart to the Jesus who's with me. And it is way more whole than my life before my brain injury. Sometimes God just thinks that maybe we just want some more Jesus. And our weaknesses get us there. Another thought, we've got a God who's more into healing than curing. You see, curing is just a quick fix that takes the pain and reverses the diagnosis right away. Healing is this deeper change that makes everything that's broken whole. Most of the healing doesn't happen overnight. It's a lifelong process of slowly turning every broken part of ourselves to Jesus bit by bit until eventually he has all of us. And here's the good news. You ready for some good news? The good news. We all get healed. That's always going to be how this story with Jesus ends. We all get healed. And sometimes we want just that quick cure here on earth and something to take the pain away right now when Jesus is simply wanting more. He's wanting to show us the power that's in us that can only be seen in our weak places. And he's wanting to show us how close he is to us. And we will only know it when we're finally desperate calling out to him. And he's wanting to show us just how much he loves us. And we will only get that when we begin to hurt and realize, oh my goodness, the God of the universe chose this kind of path for me. That's how much he loves me. Cures are nice, cures are great, but they don't always radically change us. Healing usually takes a while, but it lasts. And it's where we're all headed, my friends. It is a total soul makeover. Everything coming to be as God created to be. We're all getting healed at the end of this story. For those who love Jesus, we're all getting healed. So death isn't the greatest tragedy. It is actually the best gift because that is when our healing is complete once and for all. We are all getting healed, my friends. Some of us may be healed this side of heaven, and that's grace. And that's a chance to declare God's glory to one and to all. More of us won't be totally healed till we're in our eternal home with Jesus. And that just means there's more of Jesus to know in our sufferings than we could possibly know without him. Finally, this word today for my friends who are living in pain right now. And I say it with humility and I say it with compassion. Because some of you in this place live with conditions every day that I wouldn't wish upon anyone. And I can't fully understand it. But I do believe this with all my heart. Even in your suffering, Jesus is always with you. And he is always for you. And he is always doing what is most kind toward you. That's the hard part to believe, but I believe it. He can take the struggle away. We've already solved that. So when he doesn't, it's got to be because the chance for us to grow in the struggle is the kindest thing he can do for us. Our chance to know him in the trenches is the kindest way he can get us to connect with him in those deepest places of our hearts. Over and over again, Scripture tells us that God is always good and that he is always kind. Psalms 84:11 says, "No good thing does God withhold from those who love him." Psalm 145:9, "He's good to all." Psalm 106:1, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good." Romans 8:28, "For he works all things together for the good for those who love him." Good, good, good. If you love him, and if you've asked God to take away the sickness and the pain, and he hasn't yet, here's two promises for you to hold on to today. One, your healing will come. This side of heaven or the other, healing always comes. Two, so long as the sickness and the pain remains, God is doing what he knows to be most kind for you because he loves you. How does that work? You parents in the room, you know exactly how that works. When your kids are struggling, sometimes you rush in to save them. And sometimes you watch them work it out because you know it builds grit and character. Sometimes you wipe the tears away and go get ice cream to distract. And sometimes you just sit there and cry with them. Whatever you do when they're hurting, you do it because in your heart you believe it's the kindest thing to do because you're their parent and you love them. Just taking the pain away isn't always the kindest way to prepare these little hearts for the world they're growing up in. They're going to have to learn one day how to show up to work even when they have a headache. And they're going to have to learn to love after their heart's been broken. And they're going to have to learn how to show up to a hurting person when that's a hard place to be. And you parents, you know that they learn their strength and their beauty through the pain. And so sometimes you just hold them when they're crying. You're with them and you're for them, but you're not taking it away because you love them too much to let them miss out on who they will become by going through it. That's a parent's kindness. That's the kindness of our Father, our good, good Father. One of my favorite pastors told a story of a boy, paraplegic, didn't have arms or legs. And he got up one day and was in his room to get ready for school. And his mom had folded his clothes on the bed, told him to get dressed. He had never dressed himself before. And he began to curse his mom. He had no idea how he was going to make this happen. He's rolling around on the floor and he's sweating and he's crying and he's shouting out curses to mom and to heaven. "How could you make me do this? I can't do this. This isn't right. Mom, where are you? Mom." Eventually, he's late for school, but he gets those clothes on and he pushes himself over to his mom's room and yells, "Mom! How could you do that to me?" And he looks and sees tears streaming down his mother's face. She knew that he would have to stick it out in this struggle to see what's in him if he was going to make it in the path that lay before him. She just cried with them. But he saw that he could do it. You hurting today, my friends? Do you have pains that aren't going away? Can you trust that Jesus can heal that? That he might even want to? May as well ask in faith. Why not? And still, your healing might be more of a journey. Getting to know God's heart as you share in the sufferings of Jesus. When he cures us on the spot. And when healing waits until heaven. Somehow, this I know today. He's always good. And he is always kind. And he's always doing what he does because he loves us. 30 years since Melanie was cured of cancer. 10 years since Jessica found her healing in heaven. And today I can stand here and say, no matter how the story goes, I believe with all my heart, our God is always good. And he is always kind. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we have broken bodies in this very room. People who have walked with pain for so long. People with new diagnoses. People who woke up this morning with something that wasn't there yesterday. And we know, oh God, that you can heal everyone in this place. And you can send us out to be your healing agents in this world. And we ask you to do that, God. We ask you to do that. And God, if the healing journey for us looks more like a journey of slowly wrestling with you and getting to know you in our weaknesses and glorifying you through the ways we meet you in those hard, dark places, let it be so. The end of the day, we just want to know our Jesus. Thank you, God, that you're always good, that you're always kind. Help each of us see your goodness and kindness in our lives today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.